Dear friends in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. As we go back to the topic of hell today, it can be a very unpleasant topic, and sometimes we would rather just forget the whole thing. But can that be dangerous sometimes in life, to forget a bad thing or to not know about a bad thing? You know, I think back to a little bit more than a year ago now when my wife Kathy was discovered to have cancer, and she had no idea that she had it until she went through a particular medical procedure and they discovered that she did. But if they would not have found out, though, the cancer cells wouldn't have cared. They would have continued to grow. And like her surgeon said, oftentimes when she finally sees people, they are much, much further advanced, and sometimes it's too late. So even though we didn't want to find out that she had cancer, to find out was a good thing so she could have surgery, get the treatment that she needed, and be free of the cancer. So when news is bad, we oftentimes want to ignore it, but ultimately it's good to find out and get help. That is really a similar situation for anyone who is on the path leading to hell. Who wants to talk about such a topic? But yet, if that is a person's situation, it's better to find that out and then to receive rescue from God in Christ now so you can avoid that terrible place forever. Well, that's what we're trying to do a little bit here by talking about the topic last week and this week. We want to know what a terrible place it is, and we want to know that in Christ we have God's forgiveness, we have heaven, and not only do we want to know that, but we want to be able to share that news with other people. Well, last week we focused on a couple words. Today we're going to focus on a couple more words or phrases, and really all these different words and phrases, they're all pointing to a place of eternal punishment. Last week we looked at the words Gehenna, describing that place south of Jerusalem with the garbage and the dead animals and the dead bodies and the fire and just a terrible place. But God pointed to that and said, a place like that is coming for those who reject my Son as their Savior. And then we also looked at a place called hell, a place called Sheol and Hades. And Lenski ended up lumping all those together and said, all those different words, they really refer to hell. Today we go to a couple more references here, again, really referring to the same place in a sense, to a place of terrible and eternal torment. We're going to take a look at the abyss and then finally at the lake of fire. So let's do that now. What is the abyss? Here's a definition of it. It is an immeasurable depth, so it's a really deep place. It is considered the underworld abode of the dead, of demons, and of the beast. And really, Lenski again summarizes here and says, the abyss is basically hell. Well, what can we say about the abyss? If we think about the gospel reading I just read in Luke chapter 8, we see this demon, or this group of demons, if you will, called Legion. And they are begging and pleading with Jesus, do not, please do not send us into the abyss. They understood somehow, probably a lot better than we do, that this was a most terrible place. And they knew that Jesus had the power and the authority to send them wherever he wanted to send them. So that should give us a picture and say, wow, the abyss must be a really terrible place. We don't want to have anything to do with that. We want to rather be saved in Christ. And then going on to another reference here in Revelation chapter 20. Now in today's second reading, we took a look at the end of chapter 20. Now we go to the beginning of chapter 20. Let me read to you parts of verses 1, 2, and 3. It says, I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having the key of the abyss and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold of Satan and bound him for 1,000 years and threw him into the abyss and shut it and sealed it over him so that he should not deceive the nations any longer until the 1,000 years were completed. Well, that's a difficult reading, and there's a lot there, and that could be a whole Bible class. But just real briefly on that reading, it talked about Satan being bound with a chain. Well, when was he bound? That becomes the question. When was he bound? Understand that he was bound basically right at the moment, about 3 o'clock in the afternoon on Good Friday, when Jesus shouted from the cross, "Tetelestai." We translate, "It is finished," or really a better translation, "It has been paid in full." When Jesus won that victory on the cross at that moment, he won the victory over sin, over death, over Satan, and over hell, and that is when Satan was bound. Before that time, Satan was free to restrict the good news. If you think about it, boy, in the Old Testament, I mean, the good news is in the Old Testament, but it's really restrained and really held back, and a lot of people just didn't know the good news. But after Jesus wins the victory, though, then we see the good news go forth and spread throughout the world really fairly rapidly. Well, Satan was bound at that time, we believe. And then what's happening right now? We have to go to another place in the book of Revelation. Now, what is happening now is that Satan, well, it's a little bit debatable. Some people believe he's been loosed already and the return of Christ is very, very soon. Other people would say, no, he's still bound. He has not been released yet. Well, if he has not been released yet, he is still at work, but he's working through other means such as the beast. And we find out about the beast in Revelation chapter 7. It says, "And when the two gospel witnesses have finished their testimony, the beast that comes up out of the abyss will make war with them and overcome them and kill them." What's that talking about? It's talking about how things are going to get more and more toward the return of Christ, that the gospel message is going to be silenced more and more in the world. Glensky put it this way, "The voice of the true gospel witness is heard ever less. The silencing succeeds more and more." Just yesterday, someone sent me an email, and I don't know if this is true or not. You have to be careful with all this stuff on the internet, but they were saying that there's some kind of a petition being circulated trying to take certain gospel preachers who are on TV each week, trying to get them off of the television, trying to silence the gospel in our nation. Again, I don't know if it's true or not. Sometimes those things are out there and they're not accurate, but I wouldn't be surprised if it is true, and if it's not true now, I wouldn't be surprised if it becomes true later on. God wants us to understand that's going to happen, so he wants us to make sure that we're in places where we can still hear that good news and still be nourished by the word and the sacrament so that God can keep us in Christ. And then this period referred to as 1,000 years, when will that come to an end? Well, it's been almost 2,000 years since Jesus shouted his victory cry, so has 1,000 years come to an end already? Well, as Lutherans, we don't believe that. We believe 1,000 years is a reference to a complete or symbolical period of time. It's not a literal 1,000 years. If you think about the angel coming and binding Satan, who is a fallen angel, with a great chain, we know the chain is not literal. So if the chain is symbolical, we know that 1,000 years mentioned in the same section is also symbolical. When you think about numbers, the book of Revelation keys in on a lot of different numbers, but when it comes to the number 10, that's the number for completeness. And when we think about the number 1,000, that's 10 times 10 times 10, so we're talking about a very complete period of time, and we believe the 1,000 years is basically a reference from when Jesus won the victory on the cross until he returns and finally puts down Satan and all evil forever. But the Bible does talk, though. It says in the book of Revelation, that Satan must be released for a short period of time. So he's going to be bound for this complete period of time, but for a very short period of time, he's going to be released, and then Christ will come. Some people believe that maybe he's been released, and maybe we're in that short time right now, and that very well could be. But Lenski describes that short time in this way. Lenski wrote about this short time, "It will be merely long enough to permit Satan to gather his host and to have the fire out of the heaven devour them," which is what the Bible teaches will happen when Satan tries to gather all the forces of evil together and finally overcome the church. What did Jesus say? Jesus said even the gates of hell will not win the victory against the church. God is never going to let the devil actually destroy all of his people. And the Bible even says that God will cut the time short so that that does not happen. Because, like the Bible says, as we get closer and closer to the end, more and more people are going to fall away. The gospel is going to be proclaimed less and less. Like I just talked with James about before the service, it says in Matthew that the love of most will grow cold. When we think about God loving us, when we receive his love, we're going to show that love to others. But when we stop receiving the love of God, then our love for others grows cold. It's a way to know whether we're in Christ or not by how we show love to others. Let's go on to the second part here. Go on to the lake of fire. Some people would say the lake of fire is this place of final punishment. But like I said, Lenski's kind of lumping all this together. And you can try to divide them up, but you can also lump them together. Either way, whether we're talking about one place or multiple places, certainly none of us, certainly no one, wants to go to either that one place or to any of these potential individual places. In this section of the sermon, I talk about who ends up being thrown into the lake of fire. First of all, we see the beast and the false prophet being put in that place. In Revelation chapter 19, it says, "And the beast was seized." Let me back up for a moment. One thing that I did not mention earlier, we talked about Satan being bound with a chain, being cast into the abyss, and yet how is all this evil going on in the world today? Well, the Bible tells us Satan is working through the beast and through the false prophet in order to continue his evil work in the world. So even though he's not working directly, he has very powerful forces working for him. Sometimes in the Lutheran Church, we try to describe Satan being bound by thinking about this huge, ferocious dog, and he's chained to a really heavy doghouse with a really heavy chain. So if you get too close, hey, he's going to bite you and maybe even kill you, but if you keep your distance, you're going to be okay. Well, we think about Satan like that to some degree and realize that, you know, he is still very powerful. He still wants to devour all of us, but he's working through other means. Back to Revelation 19, it says, "And the beast was seized, and with him the false prophet. These two were thrown alive into the lake of fire, which burns with brimstone." Think about being on a lake for a moment. Now, this would be a big lake or an ocean, and you're kind of out toward the middle. When you look around in any direction, what do you see? Yeah, all you see is water. You can't see any shore. You can't see anything else. I think the lake of fire is going to be a little bit like that, or Jesus uses that terminology because he wants us to understand that it is a lake that has no shore. It has no boundary. It has no place where you can swim over there and somehow be rescued. You're out there in the middle of nowhere, and there is no place to go to be able to escape. It's a place where people are forever and ever, and it's a place we can avoid only in one way, and that is through our Lord Jesus Christ and his finished work. Another person that will be thrown into the lake of fire is the devil, Revelation chapter 20. And the devil who deceived the nations was thrown into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are also. And notice what's going to go on in the lake of fire. And they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. Boy, as finite human beings, it's hard for us to even be able to comprehend several hundred years, let alone, you know, forever and ever. Boy, that's just such a long time. We want to make sure we avoid that. And the way to avoid it is through Jesus Christ. And then we get on to the people that will be thrown into the lake of fire. In today's reading, second reading in Revelation 20, verse 15, it says, "If anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire." If you were with us last week, you know I noted that God made this terrible place, and God made it only for one group of people, not people, one group of angels. The Bible says in Matthew 25 that this place was created for the devil and his angels. So it's created for all fallen angels. That's why God made this place of terrible suffering. What could we say the devil and the fallen angels are? They are the enemies of God. We have all fallen into sin, and we made ourselves the enemies of God. But God wanted us to be his friends. God knew that we couldn't do it, so God took action in Christ. And through Christ, God is saying, "Be my friend. Be my child, be in my family, live with me forever in heaven." So God is inviting right now all people. None of us are deserving, but God's mercy goes out, and God is saying, "I know you've made a mess of things, but I love you. I've made the way in my son, through my son. Receive him and be with me forever." That's what God is begging and pleading all people to do now, and God is even giving the power for people to do that. But what happens, though, for people who say no to that for some reason? God is saying, "Be my friend." And when they reject that, then they end up being God's enemy. And then they end up dwelling with the rest of God's enemies in the lake of fire forever and ever. I mean, God doesn't want that for anyone. The way is open for all people. And God is saying, "Come and receive now before it is too late." Here are a few other passages in the Bible that talk about, you know, this terrible place of suffering. In Psalm 11, it says, "Fire and brimstone and burning wind will be the portion of their cup." In Matthew 13, Jesus said, "The angels," now this is when he comes, "the angels will gather out of his kingdom those who commit lawlessness and cast them into the furnace of fire. In that place, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, it talks about who will go to this place of destruction, and it says, "Those who do not know God." If you have one of our Bethlehem shirts, what's it say right up here in the front? It says, "Do you know Jesus Christ?" To know him is to have salvation. But what happens to those who do not know him and do not know God? The Bible says those who do not know God, the Bible says, will be punished with everlasting destruction. And then going to Matthew 25, where we have that great scene with the sheep and the goats, in reference to the goats, to the unbelievers, it says that they will go away into eternal punishment. Or in Revelation 14, it talks about all these people who end up in the lake of fire, and it says, and the smoke of their torment goes up forever and ever, and they have no rest day and night. You know, these are exceedingly terrible things, and God is saying, understand that the pastor of your church is deserving of that terrible stuff. And God is saying, look in the mirror and realize that you too are deserving of that terrible stuff. Even if you can't comprehend it, God tells us in his word, we all deserve such things because we have all rebelled against a holy and almighty God. But there is very good news, though. Let me conclude with some very good news today. In 1 Corinthians 15, it says, the sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. He won the victory over sin, over death, over hell, over the devil. He won the victory, and he is saying, come, trust in me, and know that through me, you also win the victory. You have heaven through me. Also, too, in Romans 6, it says, for the wages of sin is death. That's the bad news, but here's the good news. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So our eternal life is not in us coming to church. It's not in us reading the Bible. It's not being kind to other people. But our eternal life is in Christ Jesus our Lord. He is the one. He has done it. He is the Savior. And then finally, one last one. 1 Peter 3:18, talking about Christ, it says, Christ also died for sins once for all, the just for the unjust, in order that he might bring us to God. He is the perfect Son of God. He took our place in living a perfect life. He took our place in dying a sacrificial death. He has opened the way for all people. And through him, he brings us to God. And one day through Christ, he's going to bring us home to heaven. Though we all deserve hell, let us rejoice that we have heaven in Christ. Let us rejoice in that, and may God use us to share this good news with others about what Christ has done so that they might also join us in that wonderful paradise forevermore. And all God's people said, Amen.